So this Sunday, I believe, is a very special Sunday. I told my wife yesterday, I said, you know, it's going to be a real fun Sunday for me, even preaching. I just felt kind of a lift. As I go through different series, there are times that I feel the pressure of preaching a message that I know needs to be preached. But this message, it needs to be preached, but it's enjoyable to preach. And we're going to be celebrating three amazing ladies here at Living Word Chapel that are authors of three amazing books. And they will be available again in the cafe. And you're going to want to get one of the books. I'm going to be talking today about don't bury your talent. And every person in here has been gifted by God. You're talented by God. But the devil doesn't want for you to use the gift that the Lord has placed in every one of you. And so some of you are thinking, well, I'm too old to use my talent. My talent is long past. Lie from the devil, right? Or I'm too young. I can't use my talent because I'm just too young. Lie from the devil. Or I'm too busy. I'm just too busy. Get unbusy and start getting busy doing God's work. And so we're going to be talking about that. So it might be a little bit convicting, but I think it's going to be more fun than anything else. I'm going to be preaching from a passage of the Lord Jesus talking to his disciples. And it's actually a passage where he is preparing them for what's going to happen in the future. And he's telling them that, you know, the temple is going to be destroyed because they were just in awe of the temple in Jerusalem and how it had been built. And Jesus says, there's not going to be one stone laying on top of each other. They're all going to come down crumbling. And so they say, well, tell us when this is going to happen. And he talks to them about, you know, the coming of the Lord, the coming of him as the Messiah, to come back and rule as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is going to be like a woman giving birth to a baby. There's going to be, you know, all kinds of things happening. It's like a woman that's in contractions, and before she gives birth, those contractions are far along. But as she gets closer to give birth, those birth pains, they get closer and closer and closer and closer. So Jesus is talking about earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars, and all these things that are going to be happening. And as it gets closer to his return, there's going to be a lot more wars. There's going to be a lot more earthquakes, a lot more catastrophes. And you know that the time is getting close. And he says, but no one knows the day nor the hour, not even the Son of Man. So that helps us. Amen? You can't figure it out. Only God knows, and that's a good thing, because if you could figure it out, you'd probably say, you know what, let's go party till like it's 1999, and then right before he comes, I'm going to get right with God. Doesn't work that way. He wants us to be ready. In fact, he talked about in Matthew 25, where we're going, he talks about, I want you to be like 10 virgins, but five of them were wise, and they're waiting for their bridegroom. And they have enough oil in their lamps so that when the bridegroom comes, they're going to have light so he can see where they're at. And five of them are foolish, and they spent all their wine. They did not have enough, and when they went away, they came back, and the bridegroom had already come. So that speaks to me to be wise. Amen? I should be busied about the Father's business. And then he goes into the parable that I'm going to be talking about. And this parable is talking about a master or a man that had servants, and he goes away on a trip. And we're going to read it right now. But the whole thrust of it is, what are we doing with our time? Are we making the most of our time before the Lord returns? And how many of you in here that you're followers of Christ know that Jesus is going to come back? Just raise your hand. Okay, that's good. Very good. So he is. The first time he came as the Lamb of God. The second time he comes back, he's going to come as the Lion of Judah. So he's going to come to rule. The second time he came to serve. The first time he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom. So anyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And so we're waiting, those of us that have eternal life, that we're born again, that we're walking with Jesus, we're waiting for his return. because we know that when he comes back, that there will be no more pain, no more shame, no more tears, no more anything. He's going to rule. And so we anticipate that. So I want us to go to Matthew chapter 25. And I am going to be reading starting in verse 14. And this is the Lord giving a parable. A parable is a story or an illustration, a fictional story that has one main point. So when Jesus spoke in parables, it was him giving a story that had a main point. And so here the main point is that he's going to come back. He's talking about himself, the Savior, and he's going to come back. And this is how he puts it. He says, "It is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves or servants," okay? Notice what it says there in the NASB. It says his own slaves, right? So those that he knows, he said, "My sheep know my voice." We know the voice of the shepherd, right? And he says his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. Whose possessions are they? It's their God's, right? That's what the whole thrust of it. To one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2. To another 1. Each according to his own ability. Now that's important to me because the Lord is going to give to me. He's going to give to every person that's sitting here. Every person who's watching online. Every person who names the name of Christ. He's going to give you what you can deal with. Your own ability. He knows your ability. And that's a good thing. So when the Lord pours into James Rees, he knows what I can handle. Isn't that good? When he pours into you, he knows what you can handle as well. And it says immediately, let me finish up. And he went on his journey, verse 16. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents, he went and he traded with them. And he gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents, he gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away, and he dug a hole in the ground, and he hid whose money? His master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. I think it's important to say right here in verse 19 that it's after a long time. So if that one person that had 1 talent would have just tried to do something with it, it was a long time coming. How long have you been sitting on a pew? How long have you been sitting on your talent? How long have you been coming to church and being fed every single week and all you do is eat? And you're obese spiritually. Not malnutritioned. You're obese. Because you've dug a hole and you put your talent in the ground. And don't get mad at me. This is the Lord. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and he settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and he brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And could you imagine him going to the master? Do you think he went to him like this? Like, oh, all sheepish. I think he went like this. "Lord, I don't even know how this happened, but you gave me 5 and I made 5 more. I'm not that good. But for some reason, because of your blessing, I made 5 more. Amen? "See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, verse 21, "Well done, good and faithful servant or slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, I have to pause and I have to, because thoughts come to my head and I have to kind of just unpack them. And so I'm thinking about, he says, come into the joy of your master. Not the joy of the world. Not the joy of self, but the joy of your master. How many of you know that the master has better joy than we do? How many of us are trying to find happiness and love in all the wrong places? And that's exactly what's going on. There's a joy that only God can provide. There's a joy that only the master can bring into us. And he's got it for those that serve him. Those that do his work. Verse 24, and the one who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. You reap where you did not sow, and you gather where you have scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. I'm bringing it back to you. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, and I love this, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy slave. He said, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and I gather where I scatter no seed. Notice what he says, you knew. He's not saying everyone else does, because everyone else has a different mindset for the master. You knew. This was your mindset that I scatter where, and I reap where I've never scattered. That's what you think. Not what everyone else thinks. The one with five talents has a different mentality. The one with two talents had a different mentality. But you say, who do you say your master is? Who do you say your Savior is? Who do you say your Lord is? He says, then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received at least my money back with interest. You could have been wise enough to at least put it in the bank where I would have gotten a certain percentage of interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents, the one that had five and now he's got 10. For to everyone who has, more shall be given. And that's important right there. It says that God will continue to bless those that are a blessing. God will continue to multiply those that multiply. Amen? And this is not a prosperity message. It's not like, you know what, if you give this much, you're going to get that. That's not what it is. It's a truth message. That when you begin to use what belongs to God, and let me say this to you. I know that my breath is a gift from God. Every time I take a breath, that God has given me life, and I just did a memorial service yesterday in the metropolis in the big city of Mammoth. I did a service for a barber that had been the barber there for over 50 years. And I said to them, if hair could talk, there'd be a lot of speech. Because this man raised the ears of a lot of people. Or lowered the ears, however you want to look at it, right? So he says, therefore, take the talent from him, give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Now that's important to us, because that one that did not have, he did have, but he did not use what he had. Do you get that? I can repeat it if you guys don't. Raise your hand if you got it. Yeah. So God gives, you got to do something with it. You're not going to be able to say to God in that last day, you didn't give me. You didn't give me. You don't even live in a place where you're waiting for a box, a shoebox. We have no excuses here. I started playing pickleball with these youngsters. You know, they're in their 30s, and they called me because I meet with them and have Bible studies because it's ministry, guys. You know, I take it for the team. So I started playing, you know, with these 30-somethings just so I can stay 30. And so they call me. One of them calls me and he says, "Are you at the church?" And I said, "I'm on my way." And he said, "Okay, well, can we meet you there at 9:30?" And so 9:30 comes and they walk in the door. I can hear them and their daughter who's around 4 years old walks first, and they walked into the office. After they come, you know, through the front door, and they're bringing this big old gift, and Rosalie is carrying this big old gift. It's bigger than her. And she goes, "This is for you." And I'm like, "What are you guys doing? What are you bringing me something? What are you bringing?" And you don't have to do that, you know. And don't we do that with gifts? You know, you don't have to do that. And you're like, you know, They give you a card, you know. You didn't have to do that, and you go, you know. Where's the Ben Franklin's at, right? No. And so they brought this gift, and I open it up, and it's this pickleball paddle. But not just a pickleball paddle. It's like a Ben Johns pickleball upper paddle. Like, this guy, this vato right here can't afford those kind of paddles. And so they bless me. They blessed me with this paddle. They paid it forward. And I think about the goodness of God. I think about how faithful God is. But they didn't only bless me, they also blessed my wife. And they gave her a paddle. But you know what it teaches me? You cannot outgive God. This started with no pickleball. There was no pickleball even talked about. This started from a phone call saying, "Will you coach me? Will you life coach me and teach me the things of God?" And this young man doesn't even go to church here. He goes to church down the road in Tucson at a Roman Catholic church. And guess what we do? We study the Bible. Now, so we get to this place and we begin to see right here that when you use what God has given you, that he'll continue to give you more. And according to his word, he'll give you what other people aren't using. So for some of us that are sitting here, if you're not using it, you're going to lose it. Are you with me? If your idea of Sunday or every other Sunday or maybe one Sunday a year, if that's your idea, what God has for you, you're going to lose it. And he'll give it to someone else according to the word. Say amen if you believe that. It's not me. It's the word. And then he says right here, verse 30. And then he says, "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So what that says to me is don't bury your talent. Don't bury your talent. And here's your three takeaways. And then in this, we're going to be listening to three individuals that I know for sure they didn't bury their talent. They wrote a book. And how many of you know that it's not easy to write a book? Okay? So here's the first realization or the first takeaway is this: every person has at least one. And say amen if you agree with that. Every person has at least one talent. And the reason I know that to be true is because Jesus said that is true. And so Sue Stoltz wrote this book, Reaching Beyond the Rail, and the whole thrust of it was because her parents were aged and they began to struggle, and she says, "What can I do to help my parents?" Because how many of us, when our parents get to a place that we have to take care of them. Or let me put it another way. We don't have to, but we choose to. We don't have to take care of our mother-in-law. We don't have to take care of our mother or our dad. We choose to. And so the Lord had her write this book called Reaching Beyond the Rail. Let's hear a little bit from Sue real quick.
I was 39 when my father announced his cancer at our Christmas gathering. 9 months and 2 days after my 40th birthday, he died. Hi, I'm Sue Stoltz, the author of Reaching Beyond the Rail, The Blood, Sweat, and Tears of Caring for Mom and Dad. Caring for a sick loved one or an aging parent can be a long and difficult journey. It will grow and stretch all that are involved. When I began my journey, I was scared and I was very overwhelmed. I soon learned I needed new skills and tools and support. The road was hard, and by the time my dad passed, I was exhausted emotionally and physically. A few years later, God called me to write this book, Reaching Beyond the Rail, to help guide and encourage all who are walking the road of care. My hope and prayer is that Reaching Beyond the Rail will encourage you to recognize when you need help and where to find it, to seek wise counsel for legal and personal documents, and to learn how to support and sustain family relationships during times of uncertainty, stress, and grief. It will teach you how to give and obtain the best care possible for your loved one, and how to be aware of your responses to grief and loss, and most importantly, self-care. And finally, how to become knowledgeable about the signs and symptoms of approaching death, and so much more. And finally, if you dare to reach beyond the bed rail, you'll feel better about the journey and more certain that you can give your loved one the respect, the honor, and the dignity they deserve till the end of their days. Be bold and take courage, for the Lord God is with you.
Amen. Yeah, I have these goosebumps going through my body thinking about how we honor our father and mother when we are there until their dying day. Do you think that somewhere in this parable, when it says it's like a man that is about to go on a journey and he called his servants and he entrusted his possessions to them, and he gave to the one 5 talents and to the one 2 talents and to the one talent according to their ability. Do you think that in that there was talent that was given to Sue Stoltz to write this book to help people that were dealing with, what do I do? What do I do at this moment of my parents' life? And I want you to think about this. Do you think that you're worth the investment of God? I do. I think that every person in here is worth the investment of God. And I think that God made every person special. In fact, the psalmist, and that we read Psalm 139 this morning in our elders' prayer at 7 a.m., we went through Psalm 139. The psalmist put it like this. He said, I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hear that. I praise you, Lord. I thank you for who you are because of what you've made in me. You've made me special. You've made me unique. There's no one like me. He said, your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Now, let me say something to you that's very important. When you don't use your talent, it's not only you saying, I can't do it. I'm not worthy of it, which is a lie from the pit of hell. You are worthy of it. That's why God invested into you. Now, you may sit every Sunday with your hands on your, in Spanish, you would say your nalgas. You may sit and do nothing with the talent that God has given you, but God has invested in every person. But the other thing is, a lot of times it's us shaking our hands at God and saying, God, I'm not good enough. And what you're saying is that God didn't make you good enough. But the God that I know is a good God. If people can send shoeboxes all over the world, how much more the God that we know, who's perfect, send talent into people's lives? And so I'm going to say this to you with a challenge. Quit sitting and start doing. And I'm not talking family, because we always will do things for family. But I'm talking about kingdom. I'm talking about people that you don't have to do things for, but you get to do things for. Amen? Here's the second takeaway that I see in this text, is that talent and initiative are a winning combination. So let's settle. You already have talent, but how many of you have motivation? I know a lot of talented people that are not very motivated. And can I tell you what's wrong with our country, the United States of America? There's a lot of talent, not a lot of motivation. There's a lot of entitlement. I deserve people to give to me. No, you deserve to work for it. You deserve to do something. And the next author, she did something about a need. She did something about a child that needed to read and needed her life to be changed. And I don't think there's too many things that are greater than someone that will pour into the lives of children, because that's the formidable years. If you can get a child serving Jesus, they'll stay with Jesus the rest of their lives. I believe that. You train them up in the way that they should go, they'll never depart from that. And so the next author that we're going to celebrate wrote this children's book right here. It's three stories. And Denise Clark, she came along and she just felt the call to put something together. And I know it was with the help of her husband, and Brett, that came and said, hey, you can do this. And as she did, then God, I believe, is going to bless this book, because God inspired it. And so I want to hear her story.
Hi, my name is Denise, and I wrote Jago's Adventures. What inspired this book? That's an interesting little story. In 2021, my boss at the time in Tennessee, his 8-year-old daughter, challenged me to write her a story. So I wrote 4 short stories geared for her, intended for an audience of 1. 3 years later, my husband encouraged me to publish them. How I hope and pray it inspires children for God's glory is to encourage them to read and expand their sense of adventure and stir their imagination. I hope and pray this book or any other book inspires parents and grandparents for God's glory by encouraging them to read stories to their children or grandchildren, creating loving memories. Reading all 4 short stories takes less than 15 minutes. 15 minutes spent with your child or your grandchild is time spent bonding, encouraging creativity, improve language skills, and prompting the love of reading. These short stories are simple, yet can cultivate story and prayer time before bed, instilling a sweet habit that blesses both child and adult. Enjoy.
Amen. Amen. Give Denise a big hand. Now, Harry Truman, who was the 33rd president of the United States, he said this quote, and I remember it constantly. He says, not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. I instill that into my adult children, and I'm going to instill that into my grandchildren. Not all leaders are readers. I mean, not all readers are leaders, but every leader is a reader. And so my oldest son, he'll always say to people, you need to start reading more. You need to start reading more so that you get your intellect and your knowledge where it needs to be. That's exactly what Denise has done. She moved. Now look at what the parable says in verse 16. Immediately the one who had received the five talents went and he traded with them. Immediately. How many of you say next week? I'll start next week. I'll start next year. I'll start to use the gift that God gave me, you know, some other time. It'll never happen if you do that. The Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrase, he kind of ups the ante when he says this in verse 24 and 25. He says, the servant given 1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and you hate careless ways and you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and I secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. And here's what happens is a lot of times we're full of excuses. God, I could never meet your requirements. I could never do things like you want me to do. Can I tell you, you need to start because God loves you. And so the more excuses you make, the less that you will do for the glory of God. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, you talk to them and you say, I'd like for you to maybe consider to do this, and someone will say, I'll pray about it. Can you help with a praise team? I'll pray about it. What happened right now? I don't know if you guys saw me. I was pointing up here. I was going like this, and they, you don't know this, but in the back they were scattering. The reason for that, I was saying these lights need to go down. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would be willing to serve in the light ministry? Some of you say, well, I'll pray about it. But there's a need there, amen? I Paul Diaz has been doing the light ministry for years alone. Now Mace Taylor came along, and now he's working in the light ministry. But it'd be awesome if we had two or three other people. How about in the media? You know, some of you guys have really good computer skills. And Christy Chavez has led that ministry for years, and she could probably use some people to come alongside. And how many of you would say, I'll pray about it? And then we come the week after, and we come the week after, and we don't move into that. Some of you have been praying about it 1 year too many. And let me say this. Some of you, the Lord might have brought you here to quit praying about it and to start doing it. For you to get in the game. For you to be a part of what is happening. How many of you would agree with me that there's a time to pray and there's a time to move? Moses is a perfect example of that. Moses comes to the Red Sea. He comes and he's blocked right there, and he starts crying out to God. And look at what it says in Exodus 14:15. He's got the Pharaoh and the Egyptian army behind him. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Hello, America. Hello, America. Why are you crying out to me? Why did we start an after-school program? Because we already cried out to God. He said, do something about it. We doubled the amount of kids in the after-school program in 1 year. We believe that the Lord is leading us to start a Christian school. And can I tell you, we're not going to cry out to God. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to move. And so as we begin to put legs and arms and everything, because here's what I know for sure, that and my daughter works in the secular school system. Can I tell you that the ideology of the world is going in? It's not education anymore. It's ideology. And so we want to have a school. And right now in the after-school program, Nanesule is doing a wonderful job. They're teaching them life skills without an ideology, but with a foundation. And wouldn't it be great for your kids to be able to go to school where, in a place where they would learn arithmetic and grammar and social studies and science and physical education and all these different things that when I was going to school, that's what they taught. My parents didn't have to worry about them saying to me, you know, we don't know if you're a boy or a girl. And I hate saying that, but that's the truth. Amen? And if they would have done that at Lordsburg High School, if they would have given you a choice to be a boy or a girl, can I tell you that all my friends would have probably been in the girls' bathroom saying, I think I'm a girl today. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. And so here's Moses, the spirit of Moses working in the spirit of Pastor James. I'm going to tell you guys something. It's time to get moving. It is time for you guys to begin to do the work that God called us to do, for us to reach the people that he's called us to reach. And I'm not saying for you guys not to have a good time and not to enjoy things. Enjoy it, but enjoy it saying, Lord God, what do you want for me to do? You know, we have about 50 men going to the men's retreat, and can I tell you, every one of those men will be impacted for the Lord. And if you are not going, I'm going to ask you something. Some of those men need to be mentored. Put the men and the toward with it. We need to be mentored. What am I doing with these 30 somethings that I meet with? I'm mentoring them in the things of God and showing them that a 57-year-old can still beat them at pickleball. Just saying. I got the mic. Just saying. So here's your third takeaway. Idleness and excuses are a talent cemetery. You want to bury your talent? Make excuses. You want to bury your talent? Be idle. Now, one of my favorite people in the whole world, she's been a part of my sermon research team since the time that she came. Her name is Judy Smith. I love her to pieces. Judy lost her husband, Jim, this year. We celebrated his life. We love him to pieces, but he's with Jesus now. But Judy has written 3 books. She didn't sit on her hands. She didn't say, I can't do it. She said, you know what, Lord, with your help, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to hear her story.
Hi, I'm Judy Smith, and several years ago I wrote 3 fiction books, historical fiction, and the reason I did that was because in leading Bible studies, I realized that people had a hard time relating to the Old Testament characters. They thought they were different, and maybe that they were perfect, and that's just not the case. And I found, as I taught the historical context, people began to relate to the characters of the Bible. Take Abraham, for instance. We tend to think he's perfect because God initiated his covenant with Abraham, an everlasting and unconditional covenant. And so we think, oh, he must have been somebody special. But he wasn't. We've been learning in sermons that he was a coward and a liar. But God still used him. One of the things that I love in the New Testament is Ephesians 2:10 that says, I am his workmanship. And the Greek word for that is poema. I am his masterpiece, created for works that he planned for me before the foundation of the world. So he's in the business of still using people. The name of my series is the Scarlet Thread series. The reason I chose that was because I love looking at tapestries, the beautiful picture in the front. But when you turn them over, you see that there are certain threads that run throughout the tapestry. And in this case, it's God's scarlet thread of redemption through his promises and his covenants throughout the Old Testament. So I just felt like by using my imagination with real characters, that I could help people relate and help them become more interested in carrying that scarlet thread of redemption forward in our time. We need that.
Amen. Thank you. Very good. So I'm going to go ahead and begin to close the service because I want to give time for the authors to be in the cafe and for you guys to go in and purchase a book, which I think will be a real blessing to you and your families. But I want to end with the last point. You need to know your shape. You need to know your shape and make the most of your God-given talent. To know your shape is very simple. The S, it's an acronym, and Rick Warren put this together, and I think it's just masterful. I think it's straight from the Lord. The S stands for spiritual gifts. Every person has a spiritual gift. Amen? You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, and they'll tell you some of the spiritual gifts that people, that God gives. The other thing is the H stands for heart. What's your heart? What's your passion? We're all passionate about something. Denise, she wrote her passion, children. You know, Judy wrote her passion, but everyone has passion. The A stands for abilities. All of us have skills. Some of you are very good with math. You're mathematicians. Some of you are really good with music. Some of you are good with, some of you are builders, you're architects, you're engineers. That's your skill set. And can I tell you, God will use that skill set for his glory. Nehemiah was used with his skill set to lead and build the wall in Jerusalem. And so you have an ability. So find what your ability. The P stands for your personality. We all have different personalities. Some people are extroverts, and some people are what? Introverts. And so an introvert, you get your energy from being alone, but that doesn't mean that God can't use you as an introvert, but you recognize who you are. Extrovert, you get your energy being around people, right? And so you begin to understand what is, you know, how am I built by God? What is my personality? There's this great personality profile test that it talks about you being like an animal. So there's lions, and those are natural leaders. My wife is a lion, by the way. She's a natural leader. She just you just know when you're around her, she's just gonna go get it. The second one is otters. And how many otters do we have in here? Otters are you just like spontaneity. I'm an otter, by the way. I love doing stuff. I love, you know, having fun. And then there's a golden retrievers, people that have they're just going to come alongside and they're going to take care of you, right? Golden retrievers. How about beavers? There are people that are beavers. They're just busy, always doing work. And so you need to know your personality. And then the E stands for experiences. Experiences. And what does that mean? We all have experiences. But Pastor, I've had trauma in my past. How many of you know that God can heal us from trauma? And people that have been healed from trauma help others heal from trauma. People that were unfaithful at one time. Anyone in here been unfaithful? Raise your hand. I was unfaithful. Pastor James, guess what? God changed me from my past. My past doesn't define me anymore. You know who defines me? Jesus. And in my present, he changed me, and now he moved me into the future to help unfaithful people be faithful through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And so all of these things together. So here's what I want you to do as we close. Take some time. I want you to sit and take some time, and right on the back where it says, don't bury your talents, use them to make the church and the world a better place. Do the pastor a favor. Everyone do this. Everyone do this. It's not going to hurt you to do this. And then I want you to, in the back, there's some boxes. I want you to turn them in the boxes. And it's between you and God. And if you want to start moving out where God has given you talent, I'll tell you, you'll be better because you won't be inward. What's wrong with us is we get inward. It's all about us. Instead of us being outward, it's all about God. Amen? So do this for me. And then once you do that, and we're just going to go ahead and close the service. We're not going to do a song. Do this for a moment. So you can play some background music, something in the background. I want everyone to fill this out, if you will. And then I want for everyone who feels they would like to go and support these authors and all the work that they did, go through those double doors and go get you a book. So let me pray over you. Father, thank you for every person here. Thank you for our online campus. I pray your blessing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the talent that you've invested in every single person who calls Jesus Lord. I pray that you will just begin to birth a desire in people to want to use their talent for your glory, Lord. I pray that they will not think about as adding something else to their plate, but instead, Lord God, that you will remove things that need to be removed and that your peace will guide us in everything we do. And we're gonna give you all the glory for all that you're going to do in this 2024 fall. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said amen and amen. Please fill out that card and then go get a book. Come with me. Come with me. They'll probably need lights. They'll probably need lights to write.
Don't forget to stop in the back and check out the ladies that have written those amazing books.
Our Savior, your name lifted up.